Boom. Now, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, how in the world do you follow that up? Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today for our 9th birthday party. This is us celebrating the 90s to celebrate our 9, right? All right, good. So I'd like to introduce you to 1994, which was probably the 90s were the greatest decade ever, possibly. I mean, that's very subjective in my opinion, but we're going to go with it. So 9 years ago, we started technically, nobody wants technicalities, but I'm a very technical person. It drives Shelly up the wall because she'll make a statement and I'm like, well, actually, and she's like, shut up. Anybody else do that? Like, you're just like facts, right? You like facts, hashtag facts. We like facts. And so technically we started in February, like legally, you know, as far as paperwork and all that stuff goes. We had our very first experience on June 26th, 2011. And then we had like, so we did once a month for the first few months to kind of get a feel for it, get the word out. And then we officially started going every single week, September 25th, 2011. So that's why we celebrate the birthday party the last week of September. And today is the last week of September. So happy birthday, 9 years old as a church. That is pretty incredible. Like Shelly said, most churches, 50%, statistically, 50% of churches don't make it past the first 2 years. And businesses are even worse than that, right? Because look, you can be as spiritual as you want to be. There is a business aspect to church, right? I don't know if you guys know how this works. That's not how any of this works. Like, we can't call our landlord and be like, hey, we're going to write you a faith check this month. We're going to pray for our lease this month. Like, you can be as spiritual as you want to be, but at the end of the day, there are bills to pay and there's a business to be run, right? We are a church. We're not a business, but there is an aspect of it. So business-wise, the failure rate is extremely high, right? And churches have a very high failure rate also. All of that to say, not to be doom and gloom, but all of that to say, man, it is a monument to the faithfulness of God and the commitment of his people that we are here today. So I just got to coax claps out of you people. We're going to get to the point where we're all like fired up and we're jazzed up and we're ready to rock and roll. So we're going to, let me start with that, right? Thank you guys, man, people who, if you are here, you're part of this church, you give, you serve, you attend. Some of you are walking billboards. Like, we could not do it without you. And we are so thankful for you. This, you know, again, birthday parties are such an incredible, again, monument to the faithfulness and the commitment, not just of what God has done, but God uses people, right? Okay, God, maybe we need to go back a little further. God uses people, right? You are his people, and he uses you to build this church. And so we're so thankful for those of you who give, those of you who serve, those of you who invite other people to build the church, those of you who are just so sacrificial in your giving in so many different ways. We could not do it without you. I am so honored to be on this journey with you. It's still, there are days when I wake up and I'm like, I'm a pastor. And Shelly reminds me of that when I'm driving most of the time. Somebody told me the other day, they're like, hey, make sure you don't put any Motion Church bumper stickers on your car. I was like, don't worry, I won't, right? Anyway, we're not going to go there. It's not my fault, it's your fault. You can't drive, and I just like to point out that you can't drive. That's all. Yes! My people! That's what I love about this church, man. Like, you know, some churches got people who are oversaved. We got a lot of people who are like just saved. You know what I'm saying? They live on the south side of the kingdom, right? My people, right? So last week, we kicked off a series a few weeks ago as part of this series, the old school, the celebrating the 90s for 9. We've looked at some old school principles in Christianity and how even though society changes rapidly, right? The world around us changes just at an exponential pace. I was looking for a good word there. Exponential pace. That even though everything is changing, there are these principles, these tenets, these pillars in Christianity that do not change. Is that hazer still going? Or are you guys vaping on the front row? It's really hard to tell the difference sometimes. Y'all don't be vaping in church. Come on now. So some of these things don't change even though everything else changes. We talked about the first week how we are all sinners in need of a Savior. That has not changed, that will not change. The whole Romans road to salvation, Romans 3:23, we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. you will always be a sinner, and you will always, there's one version, I actually saw this the other day, and I was like, man, that's really good. And it says that we all fart. Which is probably part of the reason that we fall short, is because y'all out here passing gas. We all, sometimes I'm hilarious, sometimes I'm accidentally hilarious, right? We all fall short of God's glorious standard, is one version that says it. And I love the way it says that, you know, because obviously fallen short. I'm going to move on. Romans 3:23, that's what it says. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life. And in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, we will be saved. That's kind of the progression. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We're all sinners. And there's a gift that's made available to us that has not changed, that will not change. We need it. He's got it. He gives it to us. We accept it. We confess that he is Lord. We believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Then we will be saved. We are invited into eternal life. That is not going to change. It is an old school pillar of Christianity. And then the second week, we talked about discipleship, which it takes discipline to be a disciple, right? And we are not very disciplined collectively, right? As a society, as a world, right? We are squirrels, like we are just easily distracted, like, and our eyes are drawn to the flashiest thing. And so we talked about discipleship and what it takes to grow as a follower of Jesus. And then last week we talked about evangelism and how important it is to share your faith and kind of what that looks like. All of that stuff is available on iTunes. Shameless plug. So this week, what we're going to do is talk about a principle that's a little bit different, old school nonetheless, right? But a little bit different of an angle. As important as all of those other pillars are, without this one, those are negated. Those are taken away if we don't get this one right. The principle is very simple in premise, but hard in practice. Y'all know some stuff like that? Some stuff that's easy to talk about, but hard to live? Right, this is one of those things. It's easy in premise, but it's very hard in practice. And the principle is this: don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Y'all know we live in a world, and we'll talk more about this in a minute. We live in a world full of quitters. I don't like quitters. I like winners, right? Mike Singletary. I like winners. I'm a winner. So let's talk about quitting. Let's talk about quitting and not quitting. And in fact, let's start with what Jesus said about quitting. The point is, if you're taking notes. In fact, the title for today's message is Yes, I Can. Yes, I Can. Somebody say it with your chest. Yes, I can. That was pretty good. Man, you guys are getting there. So let's talk about Jesus on giving up. Let's look at what he said about quitting and giving up. And so some of you may be thinking, like, man, on a birthday party, why are you talking about quitting? And maybe it seems, you know, like it does. It's counterintuitive. It doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. I think it makes perfect sense. Because every year that passes is a memorial to the resolve of the people who serve and make this church exist, make it what it is. It is a testament to the I'm not gonna quit mentality that make our ability, create the ability to have these parties, these celebrations, these memorials, right? These birthday parties are not possible unless you are surrounded by a group of people that say, I'm not gonna quit. That don't take on this easy kind of the trendy mentality of, well, things are difficult, so deuces. Right? Right? Ultimately, every time we celebrate a birthday party, what we're celebrating is what God has done and the fact that we haven't quit. Right? That's what we celebrate every single year. Look at what God has done. And look at the fact that we didn't give up on the mission. Look at the fact that we didn't give up on the dream that God placed in our hearts. Look at the fact that we didn't walk out on the plan that he has for us. And so this is what Jesus said in a parable about not giving up. And this is so good. These are some of those strong words that come from Jesus. We tend to like just kind of rush through the strong words that Jesus had and like relish in the easy words that Jesus said. These are some of the strong words. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. It says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Now, why you would build a tower, I do not know. different context, different culture, right? Towers were common then, not so common now. Let's make it modern. So suppose one of you wants to build a house, right? Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, if you walk out, if you quit, if you think you don't have enough to do what it is that you set out to do, for if you lay the foundation and you are not able to finish it, everyone sees it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. You got all the haters coming out. Can we say something? Can we talk about haters for a second? Yeah, let's talk about haters. Y'all ain't got as many haters as you talking like you got haters, right? Everybody's like, oh man, all my haters. I'm like, who? Nobody talking about you. The only person talking about you is you. So anyway, that was free. All the offensive stuff is free, right? So if you lay the foundation and you're not able to finish it, everyone who sees it, they're going to make fun of you. They will ridicule you, and they're going to say, this person began to build, and he wasn't able to finish. And in fact, a little bit further down, Jesus says, hey, if you're not willing to give up everything, then you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my follower. This is how strongly Jesus feels about finishing. And if he feels that strongly about finishing a tower, how much more strongly and severely do you think he is concerned with our faith? Right? When it comes to starting in the faith and starting to follow him and starting to live a life in pursuit of him, how much more do you think he's concerned about us not giving up on that? Exponentially, right? There's our word again. He is so much more concerned about us not quitting on him, not quitting on following him, not quitting on the life that he has called us to. Because I've been in church for 20 years, literally 20 years. I mean, like on 20 years and 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever, right? Been in church for a minute. I have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of people start coming to church, start seeing change and transformation happen in their life, and then for one reason or another, they go back to the life that they were praying God to get them out of, praying for God to get them out of, like desperately praying for God to get them out of this lifestyle. They start to come out of it. They start to see the change. They start to build the tower, and then they go back to the life that they prayed so desperately for God to get them out of. Hundreds, if not thousands, right? So the first and most obvious component of this is God doesn't want us to give up on our faith. He doesn't want us to give up on following him, on being his, known by our affiliation and connection to him. He doesn't want us to give up on that. And that's kind of the obvious thing, right? But I think one of the more subtle, very important implications of this is he also doesn't want us to give up on the byproducts of our faith. The byproducts of our faith would be things like, I don't know, kindness. Because I don't know how your world works, and I don't know how your emotions work and how your anger management works, but kindness is something that I feel like giving up on them from time to time. About once a week or a day. It's hard. I just feel like, thank you. Thank God for people who are honest in church. For the rest of y'all, stop, right? So we want to give up on kindness. People, like, you know, you've seen the bumper stickers. Mean people suck. And, right? And I'm like, yes, they do. And it makes me want to lose all of my kindness to people like that, right? We want to give up on love, right? We want to give up on this idea that we can love people unconditionally, that we can love people without expecting anything in return. We can love people even when they don't love us back. We can love them through pain and hurt and betrayal. We can love in a sense that we're not going to give up, even if it's not easy and it's not going like we want it to. It's not a fairy tale princess. We don't give up on the evidences of our faith, like love and kindness. What about some compassion? We don't give up on compassion. You know what happens with compassion? I think we have a desensitivity to compassion because we are overwhelmed with all of the needs around us, right? So you have, listen, this is immature, but I'll share with you the way that I work sometimes. You ever watch TV and one of the really sad dog commercials come on? Man, I change the channel. I ain't got time for that. Because I love dogs, right? It always has the, in the arms of the angels. And I'm just like, Come on, man. It's like compassion overload, right? And so what can happen in our world, in our lives, is that we can start to give up on compassion because there are so many needs. There are so many things, especially when you help somebody and they don't appreciate the help that you gave them. You're like, well, there goes, I'm going to stop being compassionate, right? What about forgiveness? We want to give up on forgiveness because how many times have you forgiven and you don't see the fruit of your forgiveness, right? So we want to give up on forgiveness. I don't struggle with this one at all. Maybe you do, but some of us want to give up on our patience. I should also give up on my lying, right? Man, patience. How many parents do we have in the room? Just go ahead and stick the other hand up and start praying for God to fill you with patience. We want to give up sometimes. Y'all know that giving up is easier. It's easier, right? It's just like, man, if I'm so sick and tired of fighting this fight and grinding, right? Because that's the word these days. I'm grinding. You ain't grinding. Get off your mama's couch, out your mama's house, right? Yeah. I am so like these words, these buzzwords that we have. Like, oh, you know, I'm hustling. You ain't hustling. I remember my first part-time job, cuz. I ain't hustling. Golly, hustling and grinding. Let me find out, right? So what happens is that we want to give up. It's hard, right? And it's easier to give up. When things get hard, it's easy to give up. And it feels at times like this is the right thing to do because it would make my life easier. It would make my life better. But it'll never make your life more rewarding. It'll never make your life feel more connected to purpose when you walk out on the things that God has called you to, right? So we don't walk out, we don't give up. And here's how, this is always a good litmus test. If the byproducts are disappearing, then you may not see it, but your faith is weakening, right? If you're struggling with patience, kindness, love, compassion, empathy, all of these things, then what's happening is your faith is getting weaker as those things disappear. It's always a terrific litmus test as to how you're doing spiritually is to see how the byproducts are, right? The evidences of our faith. If they're not there, then our faith is dwindling. It's we're giving up on the faith that we were called to, right? That we are called to. So the goal of the Christian life, let me just kind of, I like simplification. The world is complex, right? And God is infinitely complex. But I think there are ways that we can reduce things down to terms that we can understand. And I think the goal of the Christian life in very simple terms is to remain as faithful and consistent as possible. The goal of every follower of Jesus is simply to remain as faithful and consistent as possible. Not perfect, right? You're going to make mistakes, probably a few of them, one or two, or 10,000, right? We make mistakes, right? It's not perfection, it's consistency, and it's faithfulness. It's not that you're not going to have bad days. Like, no, I don't know what you were sold as far as this idea, this version, what version of Christianity you were presented with. Nowhere in Scripture did it say that you weren't going to have bad days. Why? I mean, Psalm 23, one of the most infamous passages in all of Scripture is like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I took a look at my life and realized there's nothing like I've been laughing and brassing so long. Even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. All right, y'all stop. So why would David talk about going through the valley of the shadow of death if everything is supposed to be good all of the time, right? We have bad days. We have, in fact, you might even have a bad week. And I would go as far as to say that you might even experience a bad season if you're a Cowboys fan. I know. I'm here. I'm with you. Yeah, it is. Y'all, let me just listen. I am optimistic. I believe in hope. But listen, when you have to have like a miracle onside kick to beat the Falcons, we're struggling. So you may have a bad day. You may have a bad week. You may even have a bad season. But the goal is to remain faithful and consistent in and through those times, those trying times. You know what you're probably going to experience? You're probably going to experience some heartache. You're probably going to experience some pain. You're probably going to experience some betrayal. Did y'all know, and it makes sense when you think about it objectively without your own emotion, kind of detached from your emotion, that the ones that are closest to us have the ability to hurt us the most. right? That's what love is. It's a vulnerability where you expose yourself and open yourself up to the possibility of being hurt like that. And so, you know what? You're probably going to experience some heartache. You're probably going to experience some pain and even betrayal, but you don't quit. You just don't quit. Was your relationship with God ever dependent on a relationship with somebody else? Or was it dependent on Jesus? And so when you see people walk out on Jesus because somebody walked out on them, I'm like, you got this whole thing wrong anyway. You had the whole thing messed up in the first place. This is what happens when bad things happen, when we experience loss, when we experience pain, when you have a bad day, a bad season, or whatever the case may be. You get knocked down, but you get back up again. You're never going to keep me down. You get knocked down, but you get back. Did y'all see when they all fell down? And Shelly was like half a second late, but she looked good. She fell gracefully. She fell gracefully. And now it's going to be real hard to look at Shelly without seeing Steven Tyler. I'm like, girl, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing. So we get back up again, right? That's what Jesus said about quitting. That's what Jesus said about not quitting. Count the cost. Like, think about what it's going to cost you to follow Jesus. Like, let's not mince words. Let's not pretend that this isn't something that's going to cost you everything. But you gain everything in the process. Man, you won't know it until you, it's not one of those try it before you buy it things. It's one of those things that you don't get to experience until you embrace it fully, the life that Jesus has called you to, the opportunities that he's put out there for you and before you. You don't get to experience it until you're willing to walk away from everything. Then you get to experience the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to taste it, right? Like, and we're not talking like taste it and put it back or double dip. I mean, you got to go all in. You got to take a big bite. So that's what Jesus said about quitting. Second point, last point, only other point, is what we're going to call old school grit. For all of you that like to hustle and grind, this is something I got for you. Some old school grit. What we have done, let's talk about just kind of like societally and the world around us, and maybe some of you struggle with this. The new school mentality is to quit when things get hard, right? How many of you know people that quit? How many of you know, let's just use a very easy and obvious example. Let's talk about like New Year's resolutions, for example. And how many of you have made like a weight or fitness related resolution at the new year? And I'm not gonna ask you how many of you quit on them, right? I guess what we do, we set out to do something and then we quit because, you know what, I like bacon. And we quit because I really like ice cream. Y'all, oh my, jeez. And I just, you know, I start to read things in the book of Revelation about how this whole thing ends for us, and there's going to be a banquet prepared for us, a feast. In fact, go back to Psalm 23. It says he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Like, I'm pretty sure God likes food, so I like food too. Just trying to be like my father, right? How did I get off on that? We quit. We quit because it's hard, right? We have other alternatives and other options that are easier, right? And we want to quit when things are challenging. It is the new school mentality to quit, to stop when things are challenging. And I get it because, right, it's easier. It's easier to stop than it is to keep going. But you never, ever, ever experience the reward. You never feel the satisfaction that you do when you continue, even though you don't want to continue, or when you continue, even though things are hard. New school is giving up. Old school is sticking with it. It's called stick-to-itiveness. Stick-to-itiveness, right? That's a fantastic word. And stick-to-itiveness is at an all-time low. Relationships, for example, are, you look at success rates in relationships, and I don't want to belabor the point, we've talked about this stuff before, but divorce rates, even among evangelical Christians, people who follow Jesus and have similar sets of beliefs that we do, even among those, the rates are exponentially, again, for the third time we've used that word today, they are elevated, that's a better word, elevated. They're increased. They're at a level that they should not be at because we don't have any stick-to-itiveness. Oh, you thought that a relationship was going to be a fairy tale, princess. It's not at all. You are, Shelley says it best, you are two flawed, imperfect individuals trying to make a relationship work, right? So when you, it's, this is not, what is in math, what is it when you multiply a negative times a negative? Is it a double negative? Does it, what is the one where it, that's what I was getting at, right? We think, thanks, Jack. Man, brains. I like it. We think that the negative relationship, or us being part of an equation in the relationship, and their negative being part of it, it's going to make something positive. And it's just, that's not how this works. In fact, it's like your negative and their negative creates nuclear. And it is work to make it work. And if you don't have stick-to-itiveness, you're gone. You're going to quit. You're going to throw in the towel just like everyone else. You have become a statistic. Don't quit. Let's talk about some old school grit. That even rhymed. Ooh, I didn't even mean to. Sometimes you're a poet and you didn't even know it. Y'all know what we like to do with grit? We like to ascribe grit to a specific generation of people as if it was something that was genetic or hereditary. We have a way, I love history. I don't know any history nerds, buffs, people that love it. I don't know as much as I'd like to. I know enough to be dangerous. So what we do with history is we have a generation who fought World War II. We call them the greatest generation ever. That's what we call them. And we treat them as if they had a different genetic makeup than we do. We treat them as if they had this, they were hardwired differently with their mentalities, and they're not going to quit. They're going to, you know, experience tremendous adversity and keep going. Like, man, you go look at some of the stories, and you know all the stories of war in Normandy and storming beaches and literally being mowed down by machine guns. And instead of swimming back to the boats, they kept pursuing, kept pushing towards. Are you kidding me? And now it's like, nope, I'm out. See ya. Wouldn't, right? And then what happens? Anyway, we won't get into all of that nonsense. But the old school mentality is to not quit. And we think that it's reserved for a specific generation of people. Listen, this is the other thing that I know about history. Since all of recorded history, humans haven't changed. You go back literally for thousands of years and all of the documentation that we have of humans, you see our same flaws in them. You see greed, you see passion, you see nobility, you see all of these great characteristics and all of these bad characteristics in humanity all the way through humanity. We haven't changed. They weren't any better than we were. They just actually had the mental capacity and the commitment to not give up when things got hard. We just decided we have better alternatives and we immediately throw in the towel. Not y'all other people out there, right? It's not a genetic advantage on their end or a genetic disadvantage on our end. It's just a mental commitment that they had. And I think that it was rooted in an understanding that there are going to be challenges and there are going to be trials. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that you face and problems that you go through. But it's a willingness to know that you're going through it and the prize is always greater than the pain. And a hush fell over the crowd, right? The prize is always greater than the pain. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. This is, I'm not going to lie to you, I'll be very honest. I have read this, and I'm just like, I'm not there yet, right? Like, you read those passages, and you're just like, man, I've got some work to do. This is one of those passages. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, it says this, consider it pure joy. What are you smoking? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I don't know very many people who have gotten there yet. When they're like, yes, adversity. Yes, struggles and problems and pain. Yes, we don't do that. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Here's a question. Do you know that? Do you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance? Because if you know that, you know that the prize is greater than the pain. But if you think the testing of your faith is just like, oh, God is testing me. I didn't know this was going to be so hard. I didn't know I was going to have to give up so much. Then you don't know that the prize is greater than the pain. You don't know that the perseverance is what's coming as a result of the testing of your faith. Verse 4, it says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know what that says to me? Not about this church, but other churches. It says, we got a lot of immature people walking around, acting like they got it all together. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Like I said, I'm not there yet, right? And if you are, you can have my job, right? Take it, like, because we need to learn from you how you did it, how you arrived at that place in your life. It's a work in progress, right? We understand that. It's to remain as faithful and consistent as possible. We're growing. That's the discipleship element of this. And so there are so many things in this passage that we could talk about. I just want to focus on one phrase as it relates to our old school grit. And the phrase is this. It's called double-minded. In verse 8, it says, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Have you ever met somebody who is double-minded? And not like psychologically schizophrenic, right? Not double-minded like that. But double-minded in that they say one thing one day and then they say something completely different the next day. I'm never going to drink Dr. Pepper again. I got a whole fridge full of Dr. Pepper, right? I'm going to the gym. I ain't ever going to the gym again, right? I'm never going to hang out with him again because he's poison. Oh, you my boo. Just hypotheticals, right? It's double-minded. And this is what it says. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So this is what double-minded is. And again, oversimplification, because I like things easy, right? I like things simple. Let's talk about what double-minded could be, what I believe in very simple terms that double-minded means. Double-minded is this. You have, again, two categories, double-minded. One mentality, one mindset is, yes, I can. The other mindset, the other mentality is, no, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. And we are inundated every single day with thoughts that fall into one of those categories. Even the thoughts of, well, I think I can. Just go on and go over here, right? Like you have just squarely settled yourself into the no, I can't by allowing the doubt to come in. And again, none of this is a result of us believing in ourselves and betting on ourselves and believing in our own strength, our own merit, our own intelligence. All of this is a belief that is rooted in the truth that God is with you. God is for you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? I can make it through whatever it is that I go through. I can face any adversity that I face. If God is for me, who can stand against me? If God is on my side, whom shall I fear, right? We say all of these things. We know all of these things. And yet we still settle in the land of, no, I can't. And you're double-minded. What if we spent a little bit more time in the world of yes, I can? This is where Shelly has a mansion built in the land of yes, I can. I jump back and forth. I'm like, nah, it ain't going to work. Yeah, it might work. It might work. It just might work. Y'all know that even the little engine that could struggled with this. I think I can. What if we eliminated some of the doubt? Again, not based on our own efforts, worth, merit, intelligence, but based on the fact that God is for us. He's the one that's called us to it. He's the one that has called it to called us to this place of following him. And if he's called us to it, he's going to get us through it, right? So what if we got to that place and we just started to believe that, yes, I can. Yes, I can get through this crazy, crazy, crazy world that we're living in. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yes, I can be a follower of Jesus in a very dark world. Yes, I can love somebody even though blank, right? Yes, I can love my neighbor even though they are loud and obnoxious, hypothetically. Okay, I thought that was really funny. You guys did not. It's cool. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can overcome the adversity that's in my life because God is for me. God is with me. He's on my side. Whom shall I fear? Even if I go to the ends of the earth, he's there with me. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Like, God is with us. And if that's the case, then yes, we can. Yes, I can work things out with my spouse. Yes, I, why are you so excited about that one? I mean, it was good, but was it that good? I'm just kidding, Yes, I can. Because again, what is the prevailing mentality of the world that we're in? Well, I'm out. It's not working. It's harder than I thought. Yes, I can. Yes, I can work it out. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be a challenge. Yes, there's going to be some egos that have to be put into check. But yes, I can work things out with my spouse. Yes, I can raise my children in a godly, loving home. Filled with patience. Yes, I can. Yes, I can, even though every other parent just wants to be their kid's friend and not give them any guidance in life. Yes, I can. Raise them in a godly, structured, disciplined, loving home. Yes, I can. Yes, I can, right? Yes, I can make it through this month, even though it looks like the money gonna run out before the month due. Yes, I can. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, right? If let's go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, look at the flowers of the field, look at the birds of the sky, and look how beautiful they are. Look how well they're dressed. And Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't even dressed this nicely. And he cares about you more than he cares about them. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. So even if the month looks like it's going to run out, you know, after the money runs out, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Make it through 2020. I'm just going to drop the mic on. Yes, I can make it through an election cycle. Oh, y'all didn't want to go there, but let's go there. Listen, I don't care what side you're on. It's all crazy. They're all crazy, right? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. We are not double-minded and unstable in all of our ways. God is our stability. God is our consistency. God is our faithfulness. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And as we celebrate our ninth birthday party, it's just a testament to the fact that, yes, I can, and yes, we did. Let's look back in another year, 5 years, 10 years, and look at what God has done through us in our lives as we continue to consistently and faithfully follow him. Amen. Let me pray for you guys, and then we're going to go party. Father, thank you so much. God, you are more than we could ask for, more than we deserve. You're better to us, God, than our work, our worth, or our merit qualifies. And we're so thankful for that. We are so thankful for a God who loves us unconditionally, infinitely, who demonstrated that love by dying on the cross for our sins. God, if there's anybody here today and they haven't given their life to you, and maybe they've been living their life the way that they felt was best, God, it says in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that path is a path of destruction. says that the wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 6. The gift of God is eternal life. God, if there's anybody who's been on the wrong path, and today is their day to get on the right path, God, I pray that you would get a hold of their hearts right now, today. And let this be a changing point, a turning point, a transition of transformation in their lives. That they would find their hope, all of their hope, in you, Jesus. That you would be the Lord of their lives. God, I pray that as we leave from this place, we dismiss and we go hang out and we enjoy the company of our community, God, that you would just remind us regularly, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Whatever it is that we go through, whatever it is that we face, whatever battles ahead of us this week, whatever struggle that we're going to walk into when we walk into work tomorrow, whatever hell that we may be experiencing in our families, that yes, I can. Because God is with me. God is for me. And if God is on my side, who shall I fear? Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.